Welcome to another SearchDataManagement.com podcast. I'm Hannah Smaltry, site editor. Today, we're talking to somebody with a unique perspective on master data management. Scott Lee is a senior architect with R.R. Donnelley & Sons, a large publication, catalog, and commercial printer with several locations worldwide. Scott leads the company's MDM program and has first-hand experience successfully architecting and implementing an MDM program, which he'll talk more about in this podcast. But when Scott first started working on MDM, he quickly realized that there are many benefits to be gained from networking with other professionals also interested in MDM. So he and some other data management professionals formed a user group to bring together people from around the world interested in MDM. In this podcast, we'll hear more about R.R. Donnelley's MDM program, and we'll get Scott's unique insight that he's gleaned from working with the user group. Today, we are speaking with Scott Lee, senior architect with R.R. Donnelley & Sons. Thank you very much for speaking with us, Scott.
You're welcome.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about when R.R. Donnelley first began its master data management program? What business and IT challenges were you trying to solve?
Well, we were really looking at this discipline of master data management back in probably at earliest, maybe the spring of 2005. And it was a result of my VP at the time, my IT VP, and my senior director seeing some of the business challenges that were on the horizon for us and which we had had trouble with in the past, and a perfect storm of some of the challenges that we were having currently and which we were going to have in the future. And really that comes because we're a company that has done a lot of growth by acquisitions. When I started with Moore Corporation back in year 2000, it was a $2.5 billion company, and R.R. Donnelley Global now is over $12 billion, and almost all of that has been through acquisitions. Whenever we bring a new company in, it's just utter chaos for 6 months while we try to figure out how to align our business processes. And we certainly can't solve all of that with master data management, but we can really take a big chunk out of the problem by getting the customer data or the other master data from the new acquisition or the new partner and merging it in a standardized process with the data that we already have, understanding where the overlaps are, which can provide instant value to upper executive management in terms of how well aligned we are to meet the needs of those customers with the new organization.
And how did you end up designing and implementing master data management at R.R. Donnelley? Did you implement any new systems or programs?
Well, my background is really one of data integration, and so like EAI and ETL type technologies. And so our solution relies very heavily on the integration stack, which I've built out here over the past couple of years. My primary responsibility, in addition to master data management, is data integration at Donnelley. So we leveraged that as much as we could, but we did need to implement some brand new solutions as well, because integration by itself isn't sufficient to handle some of the synchronization and matching type activities that need to happen as a part of master data management, to say nothing of the data stewardship activities as well. So we implemented a new system built on the common platform that undergirds the old thing is our MDM platform. I don't really have a name for it. I just call it the platform. And then the application that sits on top of that allows us to manage and integrate customer data is called the Customer Master Data Store, or the CMDS for short. And that is a custom piece of software which a outsourcer helped us to build off of prototype code, which they had developed for many other clients in different industries in the past. They call it an accelerator framework. It's not a complete MDM solution, but it gets you off the ground fairly quickly. And so we customized that, and we've built several helper applications to supplement that as well.
I like how you just call it the platform.
The platform.
it doesn't need any further explanation.
No, it doesn't.
And so you successfully delivered. Are you in the first phase? I don't know which exact phase you consider yourself in right now.
The way we tell the story of MDM here, it's always changing, but one of the common threads is that we talk about being in a three-wave program, where the first wave is consolidating the data together and really understanding all of the various relationships among the data in a particular domain. So customer is what we're most interested in right now. So understanding that within one system that certain records are duplicates of other records, and then across multiple systems there are duplicates as well, and understanding the data quality problems associated with all of that. So when you make all that happen and you bring the data together, you create the master copy of that data, and that's our consolidation. And for customer, that is largely done. There are always pockets of customer data that you don't get at. We've got a somewhat sizable pocket of Latin American data that's proved very difficult to get, and some of our more recent acquisitions that brought us business in China and Eastern Europe, we also don't have. But the vast, vast majority of our domestic customers and a fairly good chunk of our internationals are all consolidated. The second wave is one where you disseminate the data back out to the systems that originally generated it to you. And it's not a wave that's required in order to get value out of master data management, but you can get a lot more value out of it, in my opinion, if you do. It's basically like you've got pipes flowing water into this hub. Well, you turn the valve the other direction, and now the data flows out from the center where its entry and update is very well controlled in a harmonized business process. And then that pipes back out to the source system. We've only done that in a very limited manner right now. It's flowing into our data warehouse for enterprise reporting purposes, but we have not yet put it back into the systems which originally sourced the data to us. The third wave that I like to describe is one of socialization. And it's not really a third step so much as it is an increasing of the scope of the MDM program within an organization. What that would look like for us is finishing off those pockets of data in Poland and China and so on, and making sure that as much of our customer data related business processes as possible were aligned within the standard processes which we've defined in the MDM platform.
What were the initial results or sort of anecdotal evidence of success with your first wave? How do you know that you've gotten this value out of MDM?
Well, one of the biggest recent wins for us, and really a clarion call for master data management here at Donnelley, is that we've taken all of our recent acquisitions and we've run them through the standard process of consolidating the data. And if you go back in time, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years, when Moore and Wallace, two of our ancestor companies, merged together, and then when Moore Wallace, the new company, merged with Donnelley, those were very, very big, very chaotic mergers. And we know, because we measured it at the time, that the segment of that integration or that acquisition merger type activity that we needed to deal with customer data on was activities that spanned months. You had to align your sales forces. You had to understand from a marketing perspective, now this isn't just, say, a magazine customer anymore. It's also a business forms customer, and what does that mean for your marketing strategy? From a billing perspective, some of these customers understand that we've merged and they want consolidated billing. And so getting all of that information together just took forever. And when we've done three of our recent acquisitions, Bonta, Perry Judd's, and Von Hoffman, none of which were nearly as large as Moore, Wallace, or Donnelley, but Bonta was probably maybe a third the size of Moore, so still very large. That was a $1.5 billion acquisition, not pocket change. I literally integrated all of their customer data and was able to present to our executive management the relationships between all of the customers, understanding how they rolled up hierarchically to global customers, along with a whole series of other information. That was a process that took hours. It was very, very straightforward because we'd already authored the process necessary to do it. And then after we did it for Bonta, we did the exact same thing for the other acquisitions. And that has really opened people's eyes, I think, to the value of what this technology platform can do.
Oh, that's really interesting. So time, and as we all know, time is money. So that's been an interesting metric for you to follow.
It's been our most important metric by far.
I'd like to segue a little bit. I believe it was somewhere in the last couple of years during this project when you conceived of this idea of an MDM user group, the one you moderate today. Can you talk about why you took the initiative to form the group? I'm kind of curious about what kinds of challenges and questions you were encountering when you were inspired to form the group in the first place.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's a really interesting story. And I can't take full credit for this because the original idea came from a gentleman by the name of Aaron Newman, who works for Genentech in San Francisco. And Aaron and I both attended one of Aaron Zorns' earlier CDI MDM summits in San Francisco. I had flown out there, and he was there because he's a local. And we attended some of the same sessions together, and we just kibitzed about some of the problems that we had been seeing in our own programs and getting them off the ground. And Aaron made this observation that when you go to these conferences or shows, you get to a certain level of discussion, a certain depth, I think was the term that he used. And it's very difficult to go beyond that because you're learning in these 45 or 55-minute chunks of time from people who are experts. But you want to take the questions and the discussion down to that next level of detail, which can provide even more help to these blooming MDM programs which are sprouting up at all of these companies. And so his idea was that if we could create a group which would bring together people after the conferences, so people who know a little bit about MDM and the space, but then bring them together to discuss very specific tactical challenges, say, for instance, how to fund a data governance program, or how to deal with multiple conflicting hierarchies of customer, or another interesting conversation we had was looking at all of the external data providers like Axiom or Dun & Bradstreet. What are some best practices around dealing with that information inside of a hub? Those kinds of discussions, you really need a format for it. And so what we did initially was we just exchanged business cards and we got together an email list. And we had some discussions that way, and we set up conference calls just using a free conference provider services and had, you know, probably the biggest attendance we had on any one of those calls was maybe 12 or 15 people. But then we were able to talk. We usually scheduled them for like two-hour blocks of time about one issue or two issues in much, much greater depth than we were at the conferences, and that was just incredibly valuable. I gave you a couple examples of some of the conversations we've had. The topics have been very, very wide-ranging because we have a fairly diverse group of people who've been brought together. After the phone calls worked very well, but there were two things they didn't do for us. One is that it was very difficult to scale that up because 12 people can have a very substantive discussion in 2 hours, but 50 people really can't. And so what I thought of and what I'd have had luck with in the past is email listservs. And so I went out and I looked at, you know, Google Groups or Yahoo Groups, and we settled on Yahoo as having a fairly good platform for setting that up. And so I just created the invites and added all the people who had been on the calls to the group. And then I made up some business cards with the URL on it, and I started handing them out to anyone that I met who was interested in this discipline. I was a speaker at some of the later CDI MDM shows which have been put on, and I brought the cards to that and made sure that people knew that we had this forum. You know, MDM isn't an enormous subdiscipline within IT, but we have a large number of people in the group given the size of the discipline, I think, and I've been real happy with the discussions that have come out of that.
And so how does it work? Do you sort of like post a question on the board and then people jump in? Like how are these discussions structured?
Well, anyone who's used one of these moderated groups before will be familiar with the format, but basically you have an email address which represents the group, or you can go to the groups.yahoo.com homepage and log into this particular group, and you can either post on the web or using email. And yeah, I think people, they open up a question. They say, you know, I've been thinking about this, or this happened today and I don't really know how to deal with it. Does anyone else have experience in this area? Or sometimes we get vendor-specific and we say, you know, I'm evaluating Oracle Customer Data Hub and WebSphere Customer Center. What do people think? What are your stories? And then people will either respond to the email or on the website. You can post a reply right there. And it's really nice because the group website archives all of our discussions and lets you search back through them and see what's been talked about in the past. And it allows you to manage your membership that way. We've got a couple of databases out on the group page talking about where people are from and what phase their MDM program is and that sort of thing. So there's quite a bit of information available to people who need it.
I understand you have members from all over the world, right, in different kinds of companies?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got, because I had the opportunity to not only go to some of these CDI shows here in the U.S., but also to one in London, I was able to hand out that card to a number of people who traveled to the London show, and that was people from as far away as North Africa, Eastern Europe, China, quite a global membership. Of course, the majority of members are still domestic and UK, but there's good representation from outside of those locales as well.
And I think this sort of international membership and just your association with this group must give you some really unique insight into the market and the discipline. I'm wondering if you could share any interesting anecdotes or just observations that you've gleaned from your involvement with the group, things that we might not hear about otherwise in sort of this U.S. technology press.
There's a couple things that come to mind. One thing that I don't think we deal with as often here in U.S.-based implementations of master data management, especially for companies who have a minimal international presence, is this idea of international data quality. And international data quality, I guess by that I mean trying to recognize the assumptions that we make about data quality for type information that is very locale specific, things like persons' names or things like addresses or phone numbers. Dates is another really good example. Those are information that are represented all over the world in very, very different ways. And when you do data integration, a lot of times information just comes across the pipe as a string, and you need to interpret that string and understand what it means. One example that I think is interesting is, I'm probably going to get the details wrong, but the prefix here in the U.S. of Mr., M-R, period. If you saw that in front of a name, it would obviously mean that the person being referred to is male, and probably an adult. Those are the inferences that you can make out of it. But in Holland, I believe, or Belgium maybe, MR means a legal barrister. It means a lawyer, somebody who works for the courts, and it does not denote gender at all. So if you didn't know that and you were interpreting records that came out of that locale, you would make some very false assumptions about that data. There's also any number of other examples to do with addresses. Addresses are very, very different from country to country. And there are companies which make their entire living off of understanding all of that and helping U.S.-based companies or Europe-based companies disambiguate all of the address data which they might get from various sources.
Now, given your experience with your own project and with the user group, and can you offer any advice for other people who are maybe just starting down this MDM path?
Well, the symposiums of these master data management shows that are out there, there's a couple of them available now. It's not like you want to hang out at those all the time, but going to one once is really an eye-opener. You get to see some of the major vendors and hear their spiels. You get to talk to people who are in various stages of their own programs internally, and you can get a feel for what the cost and the pain of going through a program like this is like. And then you can hear the success stories. I also would certainly recommend joining up with this user group that Aaron Newman and I have started, because you can have some interesting discussions there as well. If I, just an observation about master data management and customer data integration, as an IT discipline, it is still very formative area. I think that there are a lot of things that are changing in this space. If you just look at the past couple of weeks, one of the key independent players, Purisma, was just purchased by Dun & Bradstreet. And that's going to definitely change their competitive landscape. I think more acquisitions are certainly in the future, and people will be well served to know that type of information before they make an investment choice in any one of the vendors that are out there, or if they decide to build their own, they can connect with other people who have had varying levels of success in doing that. So networking, I think, is probably the way I would sum all of that up. Networking with people who can help you out.
And maybe to ask the question in a slightly different way, just draw a little bit more out of you. What's sort of a bad way to get started? What's the mistake that you might see some people who are new and getting into it make that you would advise against?
Certainly the one that I've heard that people are having the most trouble with and is unfortunately a very easy mistake to make is to have IT lead the charge on master data management. Business involvement, and it's almost trite to say this now, it's a truism, everybody's saying it, but without business involvement, data management programs, especially the governance side, are almost doomed to failure. In many shops, historically, there's an expectation both within the business and within IT that data quality is IT's problem. And I think we're seeing a shift now in companies recognizing that it's actually a business problem. In the sense that everyone needs to take ownership of that information because the data itself is a corporate asset and protecting that investment is of crucial importance. But for companies that haven't yet made that leap of understanding, for IT to go and build a system to nebulous requirements of a data management platform without the business's not only buy-in and acceptance, but really without the business's leadership is really a mistake. I think that is almost guaranteed to provide some level of difficulty down the road, if not outright failure.
Aren't you in IT?
I am in IT.
Okay.
This is something that I have tried to cultivate business ownership of. A big part of my job is evangelizing this platform and reporting up to our steering committee, which is entirely made up of senior business executives, on how master data management can work for R.R. Donnelley and the value that it can provide, and then soliciting requirements from them on the way in which the program should go. As an architect, one of my key design philosophies is never painting myself into a corner. So the platform that we've engineered is very, very flexible. If I was told tomorrow that customer is no longer our top priority and vendor is, I could go. We could do that. It wouldn't be a disaster. Likewise, if I was told that we need to drop all of our domestic implementations, we need to start focusing on international, we're ready to do that too. So I've tried to put myself in a position where I can be led by the business wherever the business wants to go. And I'm certainly giving them opinions on where I think is valuable based on my knowledge of our data and the MDM universe. But I try to get them to lead it as much as possible and certainly to participate, especially in the data governance activities.
Now, Scott, would you like to offer any sort of final plug or closing inspiration? We're also busy. You know, why should people get involved with this user group and sort of add another thing onto their list? Will they get enough value out of it?
Well, it's very it's certainly not going to cost them anything to do so. Many, I think, of your listeners probably will have been on email lists before. The signal-to-noise ratio in this group is very good. You have to be accepted by me in order to be joined to the group, and I do my best to keep out vendors who are just looking to troll. We do allow systems integrators in because they have a very unique viewpoint, which in terms of actual experience, which a lot of people are looking for. But you're not going to see a lot of posts about job offerings or that sort of thing. It's going to be very substantive discussion. And there's people in this group who can help you with most of the new to MDM questions that are out there. I think that it's not going to cost you much, and it's very easy to join up. You really sort of you don't have anything to lose by coming to it. Unlike the seminars, which are very costly, and I would understand why people wouldn't want to do that. But this is a free resource that's really powered by the community. And I think that people would be well served to participate in it.
Great. And we'll have that link posted right on the page where people downloaded this podcast so they can get to it easily.
Wonderful.
And thank you once again for speaking with us today, Scott Lee, Senior Architect with R.R. Donnelley.
My pleasure.
That again was Scott Lee, Senior Architect with R.R. Donnelley. A link to the MDM user group discussed in this podcast and a link to R.R. Donnelley's website can both be found on the page where you downloaded this podcast. And remember, you can learn more about MDM right here on searchdatamanagement.com. Check out our MDM All-in-One Guide for tutorials, market information, guides to getting started, and many more podcasts and resources about master data management, customer data integration, product information management, data governance, data quality, and much more. The page where you downloaded this podcast also has a direct link to our dedicated Ask the Expert section for MDM, where you can pose questions to expert Jill Deshaies, get answers, and read past Q&As from other readers. A great way to keep up with all of our new content is through RSS feeds or our email newsletters, which are both accessible from the main page of our site. You've been listening to an exclusive SearchDataManagement.com podcast. Thank you for listening, and have a great day.